Welcome, Lance. How you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. How are yourself?
I'm doing great, dude. Episode 17. 17 is your lucky number or something?
Yeah, 17 is my lucky number.
Right on, brother. Well, let's get this thing wrapped out, man. I'm super excited to talk to you. And thank you for being so willing and quick to jump in and fill our spot. And we're excited to have you here. Just wanted to do a quick shout out to our sponsors, Remax here in Newton, a locally owned brokerage, Remax. Thank you guys for sponsoring, and Alex Carbajal and his team. And we also have Midtown Venues. So thank you, Midtown Venues, for sponsoring. We really appreciate that. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and move along and just really get to unpack who Lance is.
Okay.
And your passions and your visions. We had a phone call. Man, it had to be a year ago, maybe?
Yeah.
And you called and you're like, hey, dude, you got some time? And you're real super respectful. And you asked me some questions. And then I was kind of like, what's he up to, you know? And then here you are about a year later, and you've really taken a lot of action. Mm-hmm. You're putting yourself out there. And I have a deep respect for people that are just willing to step into the fire and learn and grow and do the things you're doing. And it's evident in what you've been pursuing. So thank you for putting the energy in. Appreciate and for that. Asking good questions and learning. And so what we're going to do is we start out with a mad minute.
Okay.
It's probably going to go 5 minutes.
Okay.
But we just want to warm up a little bit and let people get to know who you are.
Okay, absolutely.
So my question number one, dude, is what is your favorite color?
Green.
Green.
Green, hunter green, dark green.
Any specific reason why?
To me, it just represents the color of life.
Right on. Okay.
You know, in the spring, everything gets green. So it's just... I think it's a beautiful time of year, and it's my favorite color.
Right. I think I might know the answer to this one, but I probably am going to be surprised, as I am often when I ask these questions. What is your favorite sports or hobby?
Oh, I'm sure it's the one you think, taekwondo especially.
Yeah. I wasn't too surprised on that.
No, I really enjoy the sport itself, and it was always a way that I could get my children involved in an activity with me.
Right on.
There's not a lot of options for that, you know, as you get older.
Huh.
And it took off. I've been doing it for about 7 years now, and have, you know, moved through the ranks. And
yeah.
Even at one point in time, had my own school.
Right on. Yeah, yeah. Where are you at as far as rankings are concerned?
Right now I'm at a first degree.
Yeah.
I could put in the time to do much more, but I've chosen to just put my time, investment, and money into something more than me getting another degree.
Yeah. I think that's amazing as far as like the disciplines and what you learn and what you go through. And even as a first degree black belt.
Yes.
The knowledge that you have and what's built in with just understanding the fight game.
Yes.
If God forbid you ever had to go to that point when you have average individuals that are out there just doing, you know, haymakers and they don't really understand positioning or leverage or any of those things. And so studying that and using it as a discipline, that's pretty cool, man.
Yes. I really appreciate neat. That.
And I'm not surprised on that one. Yeah. So that's exactly what I thought it was. So I finally got one right.
I'm dedicated.
All right, dude. Muscle car or luxury sedan? What kind of cat are you?
I am a muscle car man.
Right
on.
In
fact, I would love to have a 1965 Mustang convertible green.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's my dream.
Muscle car. Muscle car. You know, I think, Devin, everybody that we've had in here, muscle cars so far?
Most of them. Some of them say just luxury for comfort.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But if it came down to everybody's into the American muscle
because like 67 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of souped up charger with, you know, like engine coming out the hood, like a Hendrickson or Robert Palmer was like, dude, muscle car. But right now I'm at a stage in life where I just want to cruise.
Right,
you know, it's like, I want the luxury.
It's like I went from a Camaro to a Caddy.
Right. Right. this is a good one. Kind of show some love to some local restaurants here. What's your favorite order at your hometown restaurant? What would you normally buy? What's your favorite thing?
I love Genova's. Yeah. I was fortunate enough. I got to be their very first customer.
No yes, crap.
Yeah, it was kind of strange. I went in there one day. I was going to go to Curtis C's because they're frequent there.
Yeah.
And I saw an open sign over there, and I thought, well, that's strange. You know, so I went over there and opened up the door, and there was Rosie.
Isn't she amazing?
Yeah,
she's a beautiful human being.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And it shows.
Genova's special, hold the spinach.
Genova's special, hold the spinach.
Yeah, I don't like cooked spinach.
So a gift card. Genova's the place to get it.
Yeah, right. All
right.
You bet,
right on, bro. Right on. No, I love that place. And, you know, it's usually there's a few places that people kind of talk about often. And that's for sure on top of the list. Yes, yep. I think they got some awards in the state of Kansas, actually.
And people come for miles to go to that place.
Absolutely. Yeah. I heard some people driving 30, 40 minutes to get there. Mm-hmm. That's pretty neat. So the next one and the last one, kind of an important question to me because I kind of want to see where the vibes are. So if other businesses or other leaders out in the community, if certain names or certain places pop up, that matters to people. Yes. And frequenting places is like, what is the look and feel of that place? So if people hear something, they want to go see it. Maybe they want to mimic it to a certain extent.
Yes.
Or go and find out why people like to go there. But
it's always
what
good
is
to practice good practices.
Yeah, bro. Absolutely. So what in Harvey County, what is a special space that you appreciate here in Harvey County? Something that sticks out to you?
Bethel Trails. And I think one of the main reasons why is because when my children were younger, and I could take my son hiking, my daughter, I would put in like a little half backpack kind of thing. I don't know. They were real popular and you could face them the other way and we would just go on hikes and there's all kinds of nature out there. And, you know, there's always people out there either running or walking and it's enjoyable. And there's just a, for me, it's just a little hideaway, I guess, but maybe for other people too.
Yeah. I love it too, bro. My kids like it too, actually. And, it doesn't cost no money other than to get there and you just kind of do your thing and you get lost. And it reminds me of what things might've been like in certain spaces, given the open land we have here, maybe not everywhere, but you know, you can go back 150 years walking through there and just really feel that. Yes. It's pretty cool.
Some of those trees are every bit of 150 years old.
Isn't that cool,
amazing.
Man?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Beautiful place. Thank you for calling that out. It's one of my favorites too.
I love it.
So, all right, man, we're going to jump into the meat and potatoes of this thing. And the reason you're here is you're choosing to lead and you stepped up. You're running for city commission. There's three seats open right now.
Yes.
And you are going for one of those seats and pushing hard. Mm-hmm. We talked again, I'm going to reiterate about a year ago and you know, a lot of times you talk to people and everybody has good intentions, but life takes you where it takes you.
Yes.
And to do something like this, it is a long-term dedication.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of practice and work that goes into doing that. And you're not playing.
No.
You're stepping up and you're moving forward. And, to be quite frank with you and not to be disrespectful, I was wondering, like, is he really serious?
Yes.
And, you know what? We're here.
Yes, we are.
A year later, you're doing it.
I'm a serious, most people that know me know that I'm a relatively serious person.
How much have you learned and grown since you started? Why don't we start with that? Just go after it, man.
A lot. In a lot of different ways. You know, I started this and I've told people numerous times that I, and it sounds strange, but I didn't start it with the intention that the end all was that I won. I started it with the understanding that there needs to be a changing of the guard and a younger generation needs to be getting involved. And I did not see very many people of my generation doing that. And I believed that I had the ability to at least affect change. And so my end goal was to do my best, give it every bit of strength that I had, try to accept every challenge that came up along the way that I didn't know would even exist with the best possible with what I could do, you know, I would say that it has grown me tremendously based on the fact that you can never really fathom or imagine what every situation that may come up. And when you're in the stages of idea sharing, people can be very critical of that. Mm. And in some cases, people just won't even hear anything you have to say. And I think for me, that's the biggest challenge because I'm always open for new ideas. And I always bounce something off of my ideas that may even be diametrically opposed to what I believe, just to kind of bring in my focus on my own life.
Interesting.
And if there's something to change and there's something to take away from that, I do. But to reiterate, the challenge is that when dealing with people, there are so many different kinds and everybody is different.
So true.
So your end result is always different.
You know, I was talking to somebody about this very subject and it's interesting how you've aligned this kind of up the same route that conversation took place about a week ago. So it's pretty fresh in my mind. But at the end of the day, what I took from that was, you know, there's some people that start molding really quick, when you're just looking for a conversation.
Yes.
And nothing's in concrete, but people start forming quick. There's a group of people that are just built that way.
They're just, yes.
And you have to understand how to communicate to all types.
Not negative, but they are the ones who would like to follow behind a message or behind someone. And then you have other people that are leaders. And usually what happens is when somebody is a leader, whether they're leading people or not, just in their heart, and you are trying to do the same thing, that's another challenge that arises, because they don't just have the ideas that they have because they watched it on TV. I mean, they have deep seated beliefs as to why they believe what they believe, as well as I do. And the challenge is to meet in the middle, to understand where they're coming from and to allow their perspective to possibly even change mine.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's awesome. So as you're running for one of those chairs, when you first started and to where you're at today, you've made many adjustments just from afar, I can tell. So I can imagine what your personal life looks like. It's probably challenging and tough and stressful. And you're probably having a lot of war games at night with yourself. And you're building relationships with people and probably asking them to give you feedback.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People sometimes ask me, why are you asking me, you know, and what it comes down to is my idea of representation. I do not believe that I'm a person that, if elected, makes all the decisions for you. I think that true representation is that I'm an open door that listens to my constituent space. And when they come to me and they have something to say, then I listen. And if somebody's not coming to me and asking or talking to me, then I'm going to them and trying to find out. I mean, I want that information one way or the other. And if somebody's not going to come up and just willingly give it to me, then I'll go out and aggressively ask for that answer.
This is a big speculation question here, but kind of a long form. In your opinion, 100 people come to you, all important. Every one of them is important if they're they're in our community.
Absolutely.
They live here and they're going to be under you, because you can make adjustments on that city commission that could really affect things on a local level. The taxation of certain things and cigarettes and all these things that are big, big issues, deals that the city commission can make changes to and affect. So you got all those things happening. 100 people come to you. You listen to everybody. How many are just kind of going to be so far out there? Do you think, in your opinion, that it's just you hear them, you respect them, but you just know that there's not going to be a conversation to get to a certain point where they're going to be reasonable with expectations?
Okay, so can I ask for you to kind of classify? Okay,
yeah,
so
we'll
clarify. My clarification is this. Like, are you asking me which one of them... Are you asking me because we are diametrically opposed on an idea? And so then you're asking me whether I would be able to just listen to them and toss what they have to say away because...
No. I am asking that question because this is the thing. I believe that there are some very loud voices that are... They're not there to talk.
Yes.
They're there to prove a point. Yes. And if you don't take that point as to the letter of the word of what they believe...
Yes.
Everybody else is wrong.
Yes, that's
correct. And there's that side on both sides of our political spectrum.
That's correct.
Now.
And I'm all for moderation.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying. My thing is this: nobody's voice is canceled out.
100%.
I believe that there's a real lack of, even when you don't agree with the other side and you do believe that this issue is settled, I'm not going to deal with that. I don't agree with what that person's... One out of the 100, let's say. Okay. Then if that were to take place, I think I would be wrong. And my responsibility to that individual, because really, I'm a person that believes in the democracy aspect of, if 100 people came up to me and 60 people said, we want this, and 40 people said, we want this, then I would just do the simple math and I would go with the majority, or I would do something to try to effectively make it to where it could go to a vote.
So you would go in, ask questions, give more information.
Absolutely. There's no, even if I don't, if my favorite color is green and your favorite color is red, you're probably not going to ever, ever, ever make your favorite color green. But you know what we can do is I can learn Andy and I can find out, why does Andy like the color red? And what makes Andy Tick. And I can say I like the color green. And if we're doing it right, then you and I can both walk away with a mutual respect for why we like the colors that we like, understand why they do, and then agree to disagree if that's what needs to happen, or to do our best to try to come to a mutual agreement that all colors are beautiful. I am not in this to, even though politics starts with arguing and debating ideas, and that's what politics are, I'm not in it to break relationship. I'm in it to increase the discussion of ideas in the public space.
That's really cool. And the reason I asked for colors and hobbies and all that at the beginning is we want to humanize.
Yes.
Because so many times, my favorite color is red.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And yours is green.
Yeah.
And we just established that. But, you know, but at the end of the day, so what?
Yeah. Yeah. We still are neighbors. Simple. And my message when it comes to this is I know that I am rubbing some people the wrong way. Mm. You know, I've been known as the person that if there is 100 people in the room and one person doesn't want to talk to me, let's say in general, then I would like to go find out why. Yeah. You know, I'm the person that will leave the 99 to go find the one. Mm. And something that's a challenge for me in that situation is that sometimes that one just doesn't want to be found. And that's okay. So I'm learning as I go on that it's best just to do the best that I can, that I'm not going to please everybody.
Yeah.
And that with that, I try to be as open and transparent with my ideas and as respectful as I can of people that disagree with me.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of hot button issues right now in Newton that everybody's wanting to know how people believe. And, you know, it seems like we're lining up on one side or the other. And I don't think that the end result of that is beneficial to our community. But yet I'm taking a stance on one side as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, whether you and I agree on that, I still am your friend.
Yeah,
you 100%. Know, we're still neighbors. We're still Newtonians. We still want to see.
We need to get
best.
Out and mow together. Mm-hmm. We need to go out and pick weeds together. We need to go out and make sure we're doing the best we can for the schools and the kids and the programs and the systems. And
political science has also taught me something that I took away from that and still continue to is that you have two different ideas of how we get to the end. This idea that one person wants a negative outcome for children or our environment or whatever we hear, this placated argument, is ridiculous. And I believe that all people, honestly, generally, want to see the best for Newton. We want to see the best for our children. We want to see the best schools. We want to have a good community that is positive, that we can get around and get behind and all be Newtonians, okay? Under one, at least one unified goal, let's say, of having a better town with, like in my place, I would like lower crime, lower cost of living, less commission spending. So let's all get behind that idea. Now, you may think that there is a different way to get that end. I may too, but at the end of the day, we all want the same things.
Yeah.
So there's a real fine line between how do we get there and whether we just blow the whole thing up because we're not being reasonable with the other side.
Right. Well, and it's about organizing too, right? Your thoughts and your teams and communicating a clear message without alienating or demonizing the other ideas,
exactly.
Which is what's happening on a lot of fronts. That's why we want to do this.
Yes.
I support a guy and I think he was on the fence on some things and now he's on another side of an issue, which is a school bond issue. And I'm a vote yes guy and he's a vote no guy. And you know what? We're good friends.
Yeah.
And it's like,
end of the day,
we'll see what the community says.
Right. Cause and see, this,
throw
this
your
is what
vote
I love.
In and we'll see what happens.
And this is what I love about our country is the fact that, when it comes to democracy, normally now we have changed slightly over the years, but normally when something comes to the will of the people, you can accept it. You know, for instance, we have a Sunday alcohol sales vote that's going to, everybody's going to vote on it.
Yeah.
There are people on two different sides of that issue and that's fine. And at the end of the day, I think both sides of the party can be respectful of whatever vote comes out and say, well, I guess the majority of the community wanted this and they go on about their day and accept it.
Right.
Because it was by the will of the people, not, single entity that makes that decision.
Yeah. Yeah. I know where I'm voting on that too, but at the end of the day, you know, it's and I'm a yes vote. Yeah. and I don't disrespect any of my parent, my grandparents didn't drink. My mom doesn't drink. Yeah. There's reasons for that. I'm okay. Good for them. Right. But I do. And I don't have a problem with what I do. And at the end of the day, you know, there's those interesting things that happen. And to your point, as a commissioner, yeah, there's a lot you have influence over. And that's one big deal right now that I feel like, geez, man, we've come this long towing around something that maybe should have been talked about or put on the chopping block 10 years ago.
Yes.
At least.
Yes.
Especially if I own a business.
Yes.
In that vein, if I had a liquor store, just to be quite frank, I'd want to be open on Sundays.
Yeah, they had a situation a while back where they had the opportunity and the individuals who own the businesses in town said, you know, we don't really think that we could make much of a profit at that. And it's not interesting.
I didn't know that.
On the cusp of the Kansas doing the uncork legislation, which provided that they would change up the volume of alcohol content that you could sell at a convenience store. Yeah. Then on the cusp of that, with the city management needing to make a change to our ordinance to comply with the state of Kansas regulation before July, they were then all of a sudden confronted, because I was there with a couple individuals that decided, well, this would be good for business and we want to do this, which I'm not necessarily saying that's not the case. You know, like with you, I agree with you 100%. I mean, I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to vote, but I will say this, I will say that, it's what motivated, I'm not sure you're aware, but I did the petition for that and was able to. We'll just go on here. So with that decision being made just overnight with the commission, I was immediately bombarded with people that said, you know, you're going around telling people that you're going to represent people accordingly. So what are you going to do about this?
Right.
And I know how to circulate petitions and to do grassroots movements as part of my degree. So I decided that I was going to try to do the best that I could to give the people that in this case didn't have a voice.
Right.
And I felt like the most applicable situation that could happen was that it did go on the ballot and that the people of Newton decided what they wanted to do with their town. And I felt really good about that. And that was a huge challenge, and it was successful. It was very difficult to accomplish, and there was people that helped me along the way, because I would not have been able to do it on my own.
Right on. That's good. So you have a taste of what that looks
like. Yeah. Yeah, but anytime you can put the decision back in the hand of the people, you want to try to do that.
Really cool. Good job, man.
Thank you.
So tell me who you were as a kid, man. What did that look like? And he laughs. We were all there at one point, man.
As though anybody would have any question whether I had a lot of energy or not, you know. And I'm toned way down, you know. That's when I was a kid. I had a lot of energy. Honestly, nothing was too high, too far. There was no challenge too great that I would not try to embark on. And, you know, when it came to my parents, on the other hand, you know, they kept me alive, which was good. And I'm an adult now. And believe it or not, they say your kids are worse for you than you are to your parents.
Huh.
That wasn't the case in my situation. You know, I was full of fun to the max. So that was, I had a great childhood.
That's awesome. So when you left home, what did that look like?
Ooh. Mm. Well, very challenging. I left home at 18 years old. I was the third of three children, and my parents worked very hard to try to provide a life for all of us. And when it came time for me to go to college, that just wasn't in the picture. So entering the workforce in Newton, Kansas, America, 18 or 19 years old, looking for general labor employment doesn't really give much of a positive prospect.
Yeah.
And so you quickly learn that there's really not a good opportunity here unless I change something about what I'm doing. So a couple years later, I went to school and got my welding vocation degree, and then just started in the workforce as a trade, skilled labor.
Right on, dude.
That was beneficial to me.
That's an interesting, we're going to have to unpack that a little bit more at some other time when I have time to really dig into some of that. And because those economics are really important to me. And I want to understand through your experience as a Newtonian what that looked like.
It's motivation behind running. Right. One of my motivations is personal experience.
So if you could talk to your 15 or 16 year old self after all those things, right now where you're sitting today, if you can go back and pull that dude aside, what would you tell him?
I would tell him, listen to your parents.
Wow.
They know way more than you think they know.
Right on.
And they are 100% invested in your success.
Man, it's so simple.
It
it's
is.
It's got to be more complex.
It is. I have a child. I have a son, okay, right? 12 years old.
Yeah.
And I swear, as a parent, I look and I say, there's like got to be some kind of a block where if you say something like, don't do that, that could hurt you. It's a deflect. It just goes away. It's like parent just spoke. It goes away. Now, if they have a peer that says, do that, well, they'll do that.
That's amazing to me, the simplicity. And that's, oh, I mean, it's powerful. Yeah. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. And that's the truth. Because I mean, honestly, you could have said a lot of things, but that's pretty right there in your face.
I have a deep respect for my family because I was adopted by my dad at three. So as a grown adult, I look back with my own children and I'm flirting with the age that he adopted me.
Yeah.
And I just think, wow, you know, that's an amazing person that stepped up to a challenge.
Right on.
And I think that what drove him was just honestly love. And so in the end, it's always changed my perspective as an adult looking at those dynamics of family relationships and realizing that, you know, with the society we live in, there's lots of step parents and there's lots of foster kids and there's lots of people who don't have their biological parent. And that's okay.
Yeah,
because there are people that are there to help you along the way. So I guess it's one of those things where, you know, my son's my son. He's kind of my responsibility. But if it wasn't my son and it wasn't my responsibility, and then to take all of that on just to try to give somebody a life is something that's humbling to me. And that's why my dad's my hero, honestly.
That's amazing. Awesome. Thank you for that piece.
You're welcome.
That's a great message.
Sorry to get so personal.
No, that's good. This is what, I mean, that's what makes you who you are.
Yeah,
and that's, you're getting down to some deep roots where, you know, we can go beyond ourselves. I have some great friends who adopted a kiddo, and he's their son.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful thing. And they're the right people. And,
yes.
And that is just still shocking to me because I'm trying to get myself to go there because I know they're good people, pretty selfless,
yes,
both of them. And they're in it together, right? But to really take an action like that, they're just not talking. They're doing it on a scale that most people have no idea how they serve and how they sacrifice for others.
Oh, man.
And man, I wish this community would help support that, right? That vein.
Yes.
Those
our,
people
our
are,
community could do a lot better job of supporting families in need.
Yep. What are you curious about right now? What is that thing inside of you? What are you curious? What is, unpack that for me.
Honestly, what it might be like to fly.
Right on.
I've,
in what capacity?
I don't know. I've never been in a plane.
Yeah.
I've left the ground, you know. I've never been in a helicopter to whirly around and see the town or anything like that.
Yeah.
I've just never, it's not that I didn't have the opportunity. I just chose not to, you know. I mean, all my life, gravity has never been my friend. So I think putting myself in a machine and flying at hundreds of miles an hour might not be the best idea, you know.
A trip.
If it's supposed to come down. I don't know. I've always come down.
Right.
So with that experience in mind, I'm at 100% just stay on the ground right now. Yeah. But I am interested. You know, I wonder what it would look like. As I get older, I ask people, you know, when you're in a plane and you look down, what can you see?
Yeah.
You know, can you see like cars driving around and stuff like that? Yeah. Or what are you able to see? And surely at some point in time, I'll just bite the bullet and probably be my last plane ride.
Yeah, great experience.
One and only.
Projecting that, I don't want to be on the same plane now.
No, hey, I'll tell you what. I saw a video on YouTube the other day, and it was a guy, and he was flipping out about, we're all going to die. I was like, you know what? I think if I got put into a little shell and flown up into the sky, I might like lose it.
Huh.
I would not. I'm just joking, but yeah, it's funny.
You know, it's interesting because I've gone to, you know, do tours and stuff and how thin those walls are. It's
they make it pretty
scary.
Light.
It's kind of scary, bro.
Technology is an amazing thing.
Real quick, this one is kind of something I'm curious about. And if you don't want to go there, so be it. I get it. But, you know, this is a part where some of our younger people and some of our people that are just maybe struggling through some things, because we all have stuff.
Yes.
And we all choose the steps we take every day. And it's about realizing the great things as you're going through it, right? Because it's going to, the suck's going to be there.
Yes.
And sometimes it's going to be there for a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to pull yourself through.
Absolutely.
And doing what you're doing, you're choosing to walk that walk. And again, it's been 12 months. So it tells me you're serious because yes. some people will start getting in there and they realize, oh, maybe this, and that's okay.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just, it's not time or they're just not, they feel like they got to go and re-equip or whatever that is.
Can I say something that seems somewhat disrespectful Please. Without meaning it to be?
Yeah, absolutely.
As watching this whole situation and knowing that I've been wanting to do this for years, but I just was never in a position to be able to do it because I've told people continuously, you know, I was changing baby diapers and making food and napping and putting the kids to bed and working a full-time job. There's not really an opportunity for a younger person who's doing 60 hours a week at AGCO to step up and do this, you know,
right.
And my life has evolved over time. And this is an opportunity that I had. And I knew that I had this opportunity at this time. So I figured that I would do it. What I would consider a disrespectful statement, but not with the intention mm-hmm. is upon watching all this, you know, it was some candidates decided on the very last day, hey, I'm going to go, you know, I watched one candidate, ask people on Facebook whether he should have a go at it. And I just consider that very short-sighted. And if the political side of me would love to know why that's the case and, and what were they thinking, you know, because it muddies the water if you're not really with the right intention and are really going to work hard for the people in your community. And I think if you're short-sighted enough to post on Facebook 2 weeks before your deadline to file, or you're filing on the last day, no disrespect to anybody, that just proves like a real short-sightedness.
Yeah,
It's like, oh, well, I'll throw my hat in the ring. And it's like for people that are definitely serious about it, that, you know, like myself, whether you agree or disagree with me, one thing that everybody knows is that I'm passionate about what I'm doing and I have the right heart attitude when doing it. So people forgive you, you know, and the realization is that it's difficult when you work very hard for something and then you know that you can be successful if given the opportunity for other people that don't take something as serious and you know it and it's evident to be the person that you have to be challenged by. Mm-hmm. And that's hard for me. So no disrespect.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting perspective. I think we can unpack that deeply. But I'm this is a platform for you to do that.
Yes.
And you said it. And I did see you write something up on it a couple days ago, maybe, because I pay attention to a few different people. And you've been one of those that's, you know, you're pushing and you're out there. And that's another reason why I thought of you right away.
Yeah.
When because I've seen you at parades and I've seen you with people and speaking into people and recruiting people. And you know, you're serious.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was 2 years in the making. That's pretty, or at least
a couple at least. Yeah. You know, I had always had the intent, you know, my dad, he was the city marshal, my elementary school years in Western Kansas before we moved out here. And he was, you know, on city council and mayor. And it was always very interesting to me that he would take the time and invest that time just into his community. And he often, it's cliche and you see it now or whatever, but he, you know, he says, I'm doing it like a farmer. And I said, what do you mean like a farmer? And I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, you know, you plant a tree today knowing that you may not sit in its shade, but that someone else will. And he would always say, you know, I'm a farmer doing it where I plant that seed, not knowing whether I'm going to have a harvest on it in the end. But it doesn't stop me from planting the seed. Otherwise, I would never have the option, never even be an opportunity.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we're doing right now, you, me, and other people that invest in our community, even the candidates that I may or may not disagree with or that I, you know, have respect for, then in the end, we're all trying hard, hopefully, to affect change and positive change in our community.
Yeah.
So I do have, you know, that respect, and it's kind of why it motivated me.
Right on. What is something that are you comfortable with sharing something that you failed at and that what takeaway you got from that situation or that
yes, deal? Failure. It's hard to look at things as failures because I always try to
learning opportunity.
Yeah. No, you know, so if I was to specifically say something that I know that I feel I failed at, it was, I had lived here more than 25 years in Newton. I owned a house at at this point stage in my life for about 10 years. My children were getting older, and I moved from my employment at AGCO to be employed at EXO. And about a month after I was employed there, there was an incident there that everybody understands. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I had just kind of, after that, threw my hands up in this ear and said, you know, I'm going to offer my family and my children more than this. This is ridiculous. You know, Newton's crime rate is horrible. Cost of living is astronomical. There's no amenities. This town has been stuck here for the last 15 years. And even if at one point in time I saw a future, there's not one now. They've squandered it. Okay. People don't want to move here. People want to move out of here. And this was, I don't know what, 2016.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, I made the decision that I felt like it would be better for my family if we were to try to find some place that we could move that would have lower crime, lower cost of living, and not a government that seemed to be in hiatus and running away with your paycheck every single year. So we moved. You know, you can't replace your home. And the takeaway from that failure, I look at it because ultimately we moved back. It wasn't that it wasn't successful. It's not that it wasn't good for community for our children. It wasn't that we didn't, you know, find all the things that we were looking for. It's that we lost all the things that we forgot we had, you know, and you cannot replace 20 years of relationships with people, and you can't replace going to Druber's since I was a teenager. You can't replace all these, I'll just call it sights, sounds, smells. You know, you can't replace the train. Right. I remember every day, I remember thinking, I don't even hear a train. You know, and it's kind of funny that we look at things like that, but you don't really know what you had until it was gone. Mm. And so the takeaway was that never again will I choose to move out of Newton, but that I will stay here and I will stand and I will fight for my community.
That's awesome.
I believe that. And I believe in that. Believe in that tremendously.
So you're stepping into it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Looking out.
And it's not done. So no, the takeaway is.
And the bad thing is I'm actually really good at it.
You're living through it now.
Yeah. So yeah.
You're doing it.
I'm doing it right now. Yeah. Absolutely.
Instead of complaining and saying I'm out of here. Yes. You're saying, nope, I'm going to get in.
I'm coming
fight.
Back. And when I come back, this is what I'm going to do. And these are the three issues that I want changed. And I believe that it was synonymous with what the majority of Newtonians believe. I think those are the reasons that Newtonians leave.
Yeah. On question six, just for the record, that I want to change that out. And it's cool. We can run this too.
Am I talking too long?
No.
I have a bad time.
You actually helped me identify that I don't need, I can word that better.
Okay.
So I'll work on that because we got to get better as we go. And that's just huge of how you frame those questions is a big deal. So I will spend a little bit of time on
trying to be as open as I can.
Yeah, no, that's great, man. And thank you for that. That was a good nugget. Life-changing experiences, is that what it is for you? Or is there something else that you would like to share with people about any life-changing experiences and how you're stepping in? Because you're doing what you just told me. Sounds like you're just taking action on something that you know you were like, I should have handled that differently.
Yeah. And
what your kids learn, whether they're picking it up right now or not at the deepest levels.
Yes.
What you're going to do over time as those roots continue to sink and as you continue to work through what you're doing, win, lose, or draw, you're winning.
Yeah.
And you're going to continue to move forward that way. Correct. That's what I'm hearing, right?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. Kind of getting away from kind of the script, if you will, just being dudes and talking. When you meet people that are working and going through change and doing it for reasons that are bigger than themselves.
Yes.
You can start feeling the energy. Mm-hmm. And I'm a proponent that it just takes time.
Yes.
And time is a weird thing. Mm-hmm. And relationships and the things we don't know.
Yes.
You know, we're learning.
Absolutely.
But to not be afraid of that. Mm-hmm. Can you, with what you're learning and going through with this warp speed and the compounding that's happening for you as you continue to plow forward button up, if you will, for lack of a better term, in the way you're choosing to represent yourself so you can represent the community and you could be a constituent for our city and people and the needs of the people. As you're going into this journey, is there a nugget you could give people that will help them take on life in tough times differently with what you're learning? Is there a vulnerability that you're willing to share with us on that process for you?
It's kind of interesting. Throughout my whole life, I would look back because I try to be as self-aware as possible and where I'm going and what I'm doing and why. Just self-check my motivation. One thing that I think is hugely interesting is the fact that it's okay to be afraid, but you don't have to be afraid. And I think fear drives a lot of people. I think fear of failure, fear of loss. Fear is a huge motivating factor in people's lives. And I don't think that an individual can be happy constantly afraid. And I have made decisions out of fear, not realizing in my life that that was not the best decision because you made that decision out of fear. So I believe that if there was a nugget that I could tell anybody in any situation in their life is that, you know, you don't have to be afraid of loss or failing. I'm not afraid of failing like right now. You know, something helped me with Taekwondo, and where I like to use it synonymously with politics and anything anybody knows about me is that fighting is not about winning. It's about fighting. And so in the end, as long as you do your best and as long as you do 100% and try everything you can and you train for it and you worked for it and you gave it all, your all, it doesn't matter whether you win. Doesn't matter. It's that you did it and you're a better person because of all the training and everything that you learned. And then you know what? You can go back and you can do it again. You can take away where you lost and where you feel like you could do better. And then you focus on those areas and you try to become a better person and human being. Really, there's nothing to be afraid of.
You know, it's to me, I think
in life,
bro, it's, and correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not going to get butthurt over this, but the lack of humility.
Yes.
Keeps a lot of us from moving forward.
I agree. And I hope you're not calling me out because I try to be humble, man.
No, you are.
But yeah,
it's
it's
humbling when you step into a situation and you know you've got to learn.
Yes.
But you know you've got to do that part to learn.
Yes.
Let's use your analogies. You've got to get in and get punched in the face so you can learn how to block
That's
it.
Correct.
And then get deeper into technique.
That's correct.
When you continue to move up and fight different fighters that have more experience.
Yes.
And you've got to get in there and just get punched in the face.
A good point to prove on that too, that I always take the next level, and I would tell my students and stuff when I had my Taekwondo center, it had to do with the fact that it's not about whether or not you always come out successful. It's about whether you're willing to learn from the person that's better than you and accepting that someone is better than you. The cool thing about Taekwondo is it's like a lot of different things in life. You know, you didn't know how to walk until somebody helped you and showed you, and you didn't know how to run until that, you know, and there's all these stages. And in Taekwondo, you have to be taught. You have to open up your mind and say, I'm not the best fighter. I'm just noob, you know, and this guy could beat me down. And instead of saying, well, I don't want to go in here afraid and look stupid or whatever, I go let that guy show me how to be like him. And I accept that. And I think that that has to tie in humility to realize that there are other people that have certain qualities that you don't. And it's okay to go to them and say, I like those qualities that you have. And I see the outcome of what you did. Can you please teach me how to do that? You know, I keep telling people and over everywhere I go, people ask me, what do you think you have that other people don't that would put you in a position to be a commissioner over the others? And I said, well, I'm voting for Rod Cry. Does that help? I'll tell you this. If there's one person that I honestly canvass for openly, it's Rod.
Yeah,
and the reason 100%. Why is because Rod has certain skills and qualities that I admire. And I've even up to ask the man to be my mentor. I know that he understands city government well. I know that he probably has a way better take in certain areas when it comes to that. And I'm not going to say I know how to run a city commission meeting. I mean, I was a parliamentarian and I understand how they work, but I've never been up there running the gavel.
Not in the seat.
You know, not in the seat.
Yeah, not yet.
And there's a lot to be had behind the veil. And I understand that. But my goal is to find an individual that I trust and that I know has the best interests of my community at heart. And with that, I want to learn some of those skills and qualities in that he has. So I'm not trying to be in, but
no, yeah. No. I mean, I feel the real. Same way. The dude has,
I admire him.
If
I
people knew
him.
The little bit that I know about the guy, and he's not an extreme any which way.
Nope. He's a moderate.
The
just
dude
like me.
Wants to hear people out. He's mm-hmm. sensible. He's calculative.
Yep.
He's not, doesn't
emotion
need to
driven.
Pound his chest. Mm-mm. If anything, he's super, super humble.
Yes.
And most people have no idea how intelligent the guy is.
Oh, astronomically intelligent.
The leader that he is, that he lets everybody else be the leader.
It's kind of, yeah. It's kind of funny, you know, in politics 101 is that when you're running a campaign against a candidate, you want to find everything out you can find out about that candidate. And it sounds bad, but needle everything that you can. And that's how people gain elections.
Yeah.
It's the nature of politics in general.
Yeah,
so
100%.
I'm a politician. So
yeah.
The end result is that with somebody that's humble like Rod, he's not in it to fight, you know. And as I did my study on him and background on him, I was highly impressed. And it was kind of funny because when I was out in Western Kansas, didn't even know it, but I was admiring the man from a distance for the type of agronomy programs that they do out there for the farmer and the technology that they're involved in for trying to help with yield and same game, you know, and it's just amazing man that has a life to prove it.
Yeah.
So
I agree with you. And I'm excited about the potential behind the leadership that I see coming in and the new people that are learning and growing. And I appreciate you for stepping up and
yes,
getting out there and being vulnerable and also becoming stronger as you're going through this process.
Absolutely.
And it's exciting for me to see our newer leaders wanting so bad to learn and be a part of the process
yes.
and affect change
absolutely.
For the right reasons. Because you got some people's motives are what they are.
Yes.
And a lot of them are feelings driven. And, you know, you don't ever want to run. Those things are okay and they're real and they're there.
Yes.
But the feelings are, but
yes.
just you don't, a lot of times we don't make good decisions out of those emotional
that is correct.
States.
Yes.
And we have a lot of that today. And, you know, I think it's algorithms and stuff that's running that really
yes.
because they want the drama because people come back to that.
Oh, they placate on your emotions.
Yeah. But I think what we got to do is just call it for what it is mm-hmm. and have people step in and be able to teach and coach, because the reason our generation is not as involved as we should be is we've turned a blind eye to it because we're sick of it.
We don't want to hear it anymore.
But now we're like, let's not only step in, let's step in with
that's
some
right.
sensible
that's right.
actions to move us forward, because we've had some amazing systems handed to
yes.
us over the years.
You know, it's kind of funny. I'm a big history person and I read and don't watch TV kind of person. So, I mean, I'll catch the news or something, but I enjoy literature and history and government. And so, in my study, one thing that I've, really come to needle in on is it's that people have lost hope, in their country and what in their town and their community in their school and their, you know, and I'm trying to figure out why. You know, where's all this hope gone? And if I look at it, like, how do I help to create hope in my community with my town and what the direction is that we're going and what kind of future do we have? I think it comes down to really just understanding people need to believe in their town again. They need to believe in their neighbor again. They need to believe in their state again, and they need to believe in their country again. And if we do, and we look for ways in our upcoming generations, I'll call us millennials or Gen X's or whatever, when it comes time for us to take the baton, if we don't make the same mistakes that the generation before us did, I think that we will wind up living in a country that is way more prosperous and way more beneficial to the world in a positive way, even more so than what we are now. I see great things for the future of Newton. I see great things for the future of the state of Kansas. Those are the two areas that I can affect the most change with my time, talent, and efforts. And I'm doing the best I can for my home and state. I'm a Kansas man.
Fight for the guy next to you, right? Yes. At the end of the day,
yes.
We fight for each other in these grandiose visions and all the stuff that we, but it's about the guy next to you. Right. It's about your neighbor. It's about the property next to you. It's the road on your way to work.
I always, Bible verse that sticks out in my mind, I think is kind of interesting, is it's just resounding in my mind that I am my brother's keeper. You know, I am my brother's keeper. It's my responsibility to put my hand out and help somebody up. Why, if you walked along, let's say you walked along Sand Creek and somebody had fallen there and they were splashing around and you could see that they needed help, who would just walk by? I believe in my community. And I think those are the things that we need to focus on. Like, what if they're wearing a Laura Kelly shirt? I'm not pulling her out of that water. Oh, they're a Kobach fan? Oh, well, they can drown. No, I don't think so. I think we need to get back to the human level and realize that I believe the key is to understand that we all want the same things. We really do. We want a life, you know, and I'm talking over my head here because, of course, these are things I can't necessarily affect change on in general here in Newton. But, you know, like on the state of Kansas level or even the federal level, I truly believe that everybody is looking for a future that's beneficial for the human, but we all see it coming in a different way. And so we have to find that middle ground, or the exact opposite is going to happen in this country, and it's just going to fall apart through division and divisiveness. And we can see that happening in Newton right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's bring it back together, man. Yes, it starts right here, right?
Let's do
conversations like this and putting good content out and celebrating our leaders and the people stepping up. And so, Lance, thank you for your time. Thank you for coming out and sharing your story.
Thank you.
Your passions, the knowledge you dropped on us. I like the unifying message that you're bringing to the table. And I appreciate you stepping up and stepping out, dude.
Thank you.
It's a big deal. So thank you for leading.
Thank you.
Continued success to you in everything you do on the way forward. And so episode 17 with Lance Gormsley, City Commission run. We're out.
We're out.
Thanks, bro.
Thank you, man.